in the context of getting consumers involved in healthcare, everyone talks a lot about, well, let's get the consumer involved, we have patient-centered care, and you know, of course, healthcare is about patients, but in fact, usually it's been about patients sort of going to a healthcare facility or going to a doctor on a sort of point-by-point basis. They go to a visit, and then not much happens to them between visits, and they're not really living their healthcare experience in the context of anybody else. So now, with all these tools, people are able to be much more engaged with each other in these online communities. They're able to be much more engaged with their clinicians, you know, emailing and communicating with them back and forth. And we're finding that where that's really happening is really changing the way that both patients sort of experience their care and their conditions. Also changes the way that clinicians and just starting, some institutions are actually starting to behave.
You've been having a Health 2.0 conference for a couple of years now, right?
Yeah, we started back in 07, and we're from, despite the accent, we're from San Francisco and the Silicon Valley area. And so a lot of this was around kind of the excitement of the new Web 2.0 technologies, you know. And now everyone's on Facebook, and everyone has a Twitter account, and everyone understands kind of what that's all about. It's actually sort of not quite commonplace, but it's certainly that the concept of using stuff in healthcare is much better known than it was 3 years ago. And I suspect you're about to ask me why we're coming to D.C.
Yeah, well, and this is the first time, though, that you've brought this to Washington.
And it's specifically around some of the initiatives going on in healthcare with the federal government. As I'm sure your listeners know, the federal government, as part of the ERA stimulus plan, is spending a lot of money,
yes.
$34 billion, maybe more, on electronic medical records for physicians. And part of that initiative is to try and figure out what other innovations are going on. And we've been working with the folks at the Office of the National Coordinator for Health Information Technology, ONC, and that's a mouthful. We've been working with the folks there.
Welcome to Washington. We're used to mouthfuls.
They're interested in just following up and figuring out what other kind of innovation is going on beyond just electronic medical records for doctors. And we're kind of fitting into that area.
And it's been interesting over the last couple of years because we have seen a lot of Silicon Valley folks come into Washington, and you have a different almost mentality of it. When you've been planning this, pulling this together, does it seem a little bit Mr. Smith goes to Washington kind of thing?
Wow. So the conference is called the conference, which is on June the 7th, on Monday, and Monday. It's, by the way, three to federal employees. There is a fee for other people, but it's free for federal staffers in healthcare. The conference is called Health 2.0 Goes to Washington, and it's a little bit like that. It's a little bit, you know, let's take some of the wonder. But I think you're also seeing that within D.C. itself, especially with some of the folks who are now in Health and Human Services, there's a lot of interest in can the government use these lightweight tools to change its behavior, you know, instead of doing the 3-year procurement cycle and the 7-year installation, can they use some of these web tools to build and change things a little bit quicker? And by the way, there's a parallel initiative in a conference actually the week before around something called the Community Health Data Initiative, which HHS has started itself, which involves essentially taking the government's data, the data that's unlocked in HHS, and opening up to the public and seeing if they can, if the public and the technology community can do something with that around community health data. Most of the Health 2.0 crowd that we're involved with are trying to sort of solve problems for individuals, individual patients, individual physicians, by using, you know, similar tools. And we think there's a very natural fit there.
Tell us the kinds of things that will be discussed at the Health 2.0 conference, which, as you say, comes up early June.
Right, so it's Monday, June the 7th. It's a one-day conference, and I think there'll be kind of two main things going on. Three, actually. Let me give you the first one is we're going to be showing a huge range, you know, crammed into one day of live demonstrations of sort of the cream of the crop of some Health 2.0 companies. And these range from most of the companies you'll never have heard of, but they range from some of the more advanced patient communities like Health Central, which is a local DC company, patients like me, showing what patients are doing online with each other. We'll be showing some physician-based tools. For example, there's a free web-based EMR called Practice Fusion, which is growing very rapidly. It's based in San Francisco. And we'll be showing them and some other tools like Relay Health, which is a messaging system for doctors and patients. And so there'll be a number of those. And interspersed with, you know, about those 20 or 30 demonstrations. We do these little rapid-fire four-minute demos. It's a format that works very well. Interspersed with that, we'll be having both keynotes and conversations, mostly from government types. So we had David Blumenthal, the director of the ONC at HHS, Anish Chopra, who I'm sure many of your listeners know is the CTO of the federal government, and Todd Park, who is probably less well-known than those other two, is very influential, who comes from the outside, comes from the world of sort of innovative health IT, and is now the CTO of HHS. So I'll have them and several others from HHS and also some industry commentators talking about what they've seen and how this impacts the federal government. And the last thing we're doing, which is pretty unusual, is we're making sure that patients are very represented. We have not only a breakout session in which seven of what leading what we call e-patients, that is patients who really taken the ability to use these types of tools and, you know, taking it on board and are really leading the charge and being really sort of innovators in terms of how to be a patient and use these tools. Not only do we have seven of those with their own session, but there's going to be one of those patients on every single panel. So, you know, they'll be keeping the feds and the vendors honest.
And we were talking about the implications of having patients more involved in the whole healthcare process. That seems to have real implications if you're a federal agency that's working in healthcare in one way or another.
Well, so I think it has huge implications. I mean, so there are myriad stories about, you know, the inability for patients to get proper access to their data, to not really understand what's going on with them within the system. And you're finding now that there are, at the moment, it's just a sort of small fraction of activist patients who are really demanding to get hold of their own data and to sort of figure out what put themselves in the center of, you know, in the center of power around choices they're making. But, you know, you're going to see that number is going to grow as more and more computer-savvy people sort of enter the healthcare system and it's a natural aging process. So I think that's a big implication. Really, it has big implications both for regulators. You know, what should hospitals and physicians, you know, be regulated and told they have to do and what they have to make available. But it also makes a big difference for the government as a healthcare payer. You know, what should Medicare be paying for? Should it be paying for just sort of office visits and transactions, or should it actually be paying for more care management services? And how much of those, you know, could be delivered by patients to other patients? How much of that could be a patient-to-patient online community? I mean, should Medicare be paying for that because it may actually have a health benefit for the individuals concerned? So there's a lot of sort of bigger questions that this kind of that the Health 2.0 movement is raising.
And I know Tim O'Reilly talks about government as a platform, and a lot of these tools can create the data sets or the different things that allow people to go off and do things in the way that they want to do it. It seems like that has implications on healthcare too, where government, again, can be this platform.
For sure. And, you know, Tim is sort of the godfather of the overall Web 2.0 movement. And so we've been talking with him just about this very point. So in some ways, the thing I mentioned before, which is the Community Data Health Initiative from HHS, Todd Park Lewis, we're in some discussions with them, not done yet, but we're very likely to be helping sort of move that forward and hosting sort of hosting a community of developers to see if they can do more with that government data. And what we think is really exciting is taking all those government-collected data platforms and introducing that kind of data into all these health applications. And one other thing, which I think no one thought too much about in D.C., but it's going to come into the fore, is that now we have patients meeting patients online, collecting data, exchanging information, patients meeting physicians online, all that messaging. There's a whole amount of data collection that's been generated as a consequence of this. So give me an example of that. When cancer patients meet in a forum and start exchanging information about what works and what doesn't, no one at the moment is collecting that data, but that's a very valuable data set. And there's no reason why the government shouldn't be collecting that and making that available to everyone else as well. So, what's the place of these large online, they're not quite data sets because they're communities, but they are generating data. What's the place of that in sort of standard government data collection? These are sort of big questions, and the government is going to be facing them.